This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 709, I think. Very exciting day. Very exciting. Gotta get home. Got small groups tonight. I'm running a little bit behind. But we're gonna get home. We're gonna get the thing done. Get her done. So anyways, all is well. I am going to have to like cut this short as soon as I get home because I still have to vacuum floors and get a handout put together for the small group tonight. Okay, so, and I'm really tempted to eat some nuts as I do this going home so that I'm ready to go. Anyways, so it's been a good week. Our two new guys are in, and we've been doing training, and that all seems to be going fine. So just trying not to overload with information, be sensitive to that, give some decompression time, but it all seems to be going well. So, yay. I did have a little hitch in the get-along because I looked earlier in the week and saw that it was going to be raining on Friday and raining on Saturday. Now that we are closer, it's still raining on Saturday, and the costume I was going to do for Halloween, I can't do that in the rain. Just absolutely not. I've swapped to another costume, but it potentially doesn't have that much punch, so I was going to kind of punch it up a little bit. So then we'll have to see, and then there's always the thought of, okay, is this gonna punch it up too much? So yeah, so we're working on that. Sorry, I am eating nuts because I have to hit the ground running when I get home. So we'll see. And I think we're just gonna go. But that's all fine. Working on the book. Book seems to be going fine. On chapter 7, I'm actually on track this week. Last week, I ended up losing some words, but you know, there were mitigating circumstances. Because there were things we had to do, and yada, 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 but it'll be fine. There's only 6 weeks in this writing sprint. I'm still ahead on words. Everything's good. Okay. So, a couple of weekends ago, we went down to Tulsa and we went to the gathering place. That was lots of fun. And on the way back, I listened to a podcast with Lex Friedman and this guy named Michael Levin. It was fascinating. I have told enough people about this now that I had assumed that I had done the podcast on it, or maybe mentioned it on a podcast. I don't know. I looked back at the podcast that I'd done over the last several weeks, and it wasn't there. And I thought, what? So, as a sign of senility setting in, I decided, you know, I'm going to be 64 soon. If I repeat myself, that's okay. Because I could have sworn I mentioned it. But, you know, who has the time to go back and see what you said before? So, there was a TED Talk, one of those weird video conference TED Talks where it's just two people talking. It's not like a real TED Talk. So I thought, well, let's talk about that because it's kind of compressed and kind of hits the high points of it. And it's really fascinating. It's really, really fascinating. So Michael Levin is a researcher, and he specifically is researching into models, mental models of biology and DNA and how things work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they have discovered, working in conjunction with other people, some things that are new things about biology. Because there's always been this outstanding question of, in developmental biology, how do things know? Because when you look at starting with a single cell and then building out an entire human from a single cell, that's amazing. That is just astonishing. So the question is, how does it know? How does that biology know that you should make five fingers? How does it know how long each finger should be? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-oh. Okay, hold up. Just a second. I'm going to see what my beloved is saying here. What do you do? Mm-hmm. Okay, on my way. Anyways, so how does it know these things? Like body position and like where eyes go and where noses go and all that sort of thing. How does it know? And what it has been assumed is that it's in the DNA. All that stuff is coded in the DNA. But the question is it only in the DNA? And Michael Levin would say the answer to that is it's not only in the DNA. He says the DNA does specify the hardware of each cell. So DNA tells every cell what proteins it's supposed to have. So when you have tadpoles, for example, you see the kind of thing that most people think is a sort of progressive unrolling of the genomes. So for tadpoles, the eyes, the jaws, the nostrils, all that stuff has to move when it becomes a frog. And he said, we thought it was just like a sort of hardwired set of movements. You move forward this number, you move forward there. He said the problem with that theory is if you make what they call Picasso frogs. So you can take tadpoles where the jaw might be off to the sides and the eyes are shifted, nostrils are moved, everything is shifted around. And yet, when those tadpoles become frogs, their faces are largely in the right space. So the question is, if the genes just code a specific movement, why do Picasso tadpoles become normal frogs? Why don't they become Picasso frogs? And he said, what's happening is those individual pieces know how to move, but they also know how to do error correction. And I got tickled because he was very careful with his language. So he says at one point, this kind of decision making that involves flexible responses to new circumstances In other contexts, we would call this intelligence. Because he's trying to be very careful. Because if that is intelligence, if it is some kind of intelligence that exists outside the mind, how does it do that? And what is built in? And he said, so what we need to understand is not only the mechanisms by which these cells execute their movements and gene expression and so on, but we really have to understand the information flow. How do these cells cooperate with each other to build something large and to stop building when a specific structure is created? And these kinds of computations, not just the mechanisms, but the computations of anatomical control, are the future of biology. In other places, when I've heard Michael Levin talk, he has talked about the fact that when he speaks of these things, he often relies on the language of engineering, because he says the language of engineering is much better suited to describing what's happening. They didn't get into this discussion, but when you start using the language of engineering, you are using the language of design, intentional design, and that language is not the language of evolution. So it's all very interesting. What Michael Levin and others working with him have discovered is that there is a basic bioelectricity that is not only native to cells in terms of charged ions, but cells, not just your brain cells, but cells all over the body can communicate with each other. The cells in your body have portals that attach when they get in alignment that pass electrical signals back and forth. And he said, we are now able to eavesdrop on all of the electrical conversations that cells are having with each other. And he said, and so these cells basically are communicating with each other about who's going to be the head and who's going to be the tail and who is going to be left and right, and who's going to make eyes and brains, etc., etc., etc. And what the cells are trying to do is work towards reducing error. So in that type of scenario, if the cells know, based on an electrical map of definition, what a frog's face is supposed to look like, it doesn't matter within certain parameters, it doesn't matter where the eyes start out and the jaw starts out and all that sort of thing. It can error correct until it gets to the right place, and a Picasso tadpole ends up as a fairly normal-looking frog. Now, that's pretty interesting. Basically, he says, what happens is that these cells, by forming electrical networks, are much like the networks in the brain. And these networks process information, including pattern memories. They include, oh, hold up. They include They include representation of large-scale anatomical structures, where various organs go, what the different axes of animals are, front and back, head and tail are going to be, and these are literally held in the electrical circuits across large tissues in the same way that brains hold other forms of memory and learning. Now, this is new. So here's the cool example he gave of this. And then I gotta go, because it's 5:15 and everybody's coming at 6:30 and I got stuff to do. So I'm gonna grab my mail here real quick. Got that, check this. So there are worms called planaria. Planaria have some of the most amazing regenerative systems in the world. You can take a planaria worm and you can chop it in half, and the head with the top half will grow a new tail, and the bottom half will grow a new head, and it will just go along like everything's fine. In fact, experiments have been done that take these worms and chop them into 250 different pieces, and each piece grows back a whole worm again. They said basically these worms are immortal, because they just keep regenerating. But when they regenerate accurately. They regenerate to a planaria worm. He said they've been studying these networks and they've been able to isolate the networks and the portions of the network that tell the worm, okay, this is where your head goes. Through a series of chemicals, they've been able to create that pattern to tell the worm, no, you don't just have one head, you actually have two heads. And once they make that change in the worm, when they cut it in half, the bottom half regrows its heads, but it regrows two heads. Because they've changed the electrical pattern. They have not changed the DNA or the expression of the DNA, anything like that. What they've simply done is this inherent pattern memory that's in these bioelectric networks, they forcibly changed that. Now he said, what's really interesting is you can take those worms that in the first generation they grew two heads, and you can turn around and you can chop that worm in half, and that subsequent worm, when it regrows, will regrow two heads as well, because the electrical pattern will stick. So all these cells are together. They're coding information into an electrical pattern that they hold. And that pattern guides the next generation. And will just keep guiding the regeneration to make two heads. So the idea is, if we can figure out what these electrical networks are, then potentially we can do things to figure out how to stop cancer cells from growing, or figuring out how to tell our cells to regrow a hand if you, accidentally cut your hand off. There's all kinds of really interesting and frightening possibilities here. Lots and lots of possibilities. But it's very, very fascinating that not only do we have intelligence in our brain, but there is information processing, intelligence, and memory coded into our cells. And it's all based on electrical networks. That's fascinating. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.